And in fact, it's interesting because while we talk about the positive aspect of the placebo, a positive belief giving me a positive resolution in health, what most people don't know about and what medicine doesn't talk about a lot is an equal but opposite effect called the nocebo effect. The nocebo effect is a belief that something is toxic or harmful. So while a placebo effect, the belief that I can be healed from something, will actually create a healing, the negative beliefs of a nocebo can actually cause disease and death. So the reality is, it's the belief, whether it's positive or negative, it's equally powerful. So we have to start recognizing that beliefs are very critical in the expression of our lives. And why this also then becomes interesting for me as a biologist is to recognize that beliefs of the mind create the biology and behavior of our lives. And it's not a coincidence that the beliefs that we hold in our mind match the lives that we express. And it's not this coincidence, because the fact is the beliefs are shaping the life that we have. Just a quick example to talk about that is the concept of multiple personalities. While this is a psychological dysfunction, they do demonstrate some very interesting biological realities here. And that is, as an individual changes their belief, the moment they change their belief, they change their physiology. So that, for example, they could have blue eyes in one personality, and then within a few moments after changing the personality, they could have brown eyes. That they could have scars show up in one personality, switch the personality, and the scars disappear in the other personality. Or, for example, one of the ones that I find, at least in regard to immunology, is exciting, is that multiple personalities could have, an allergic response, an anaphylactic response, for example, to, let's say, dogs, so that if a person gets in contact with a dog, they actually go through an allergic response that leads to hives and can actually cause their death. And it's interesting because it's been demonstrated that in one personality, you may have this allergy, and when the personality switches, the allergy disappears in the other personality. So all of a sudden, this individual who couldn't contact dogs could be in a pile of dogs and have no effect. But the moment they switch back to the original personality, just one dog in their presence will actually activate this response. So basically it says there's a direct connection between the beliefs that we have and the life that we have. There's a coherence. And so why this then becomes important for us is then the beliefs that give us hopes and opportunities will express that, but the same thing as beliefs that give us limitations or sabotage us will actually do that as well. So it's really incumbent for us to recognize these beliefs. For example, if we hypnotize somebody right here, Steve, and I say, look, here's a glass of water. And I ask this hypnotized person to pick up the glass of water. And before they pick it up, I say, oh, excuse me, but that glass of water weighs 1,000 pounds. So this hypnotized person is now bought the belief in their hypnotized state that this glass of water weighs 1,000 pounds. We ask them to lift it up. And then we'll see as they put their hand around their glass and they try to lift it up, all of a sudden they'll start to struggle in this thing. Their arms and muscles will start to shake and quiver. They'll perspire. Their blood vessels will pop out. And they're trying to lift a glass of water off the table. Well, if you're not a hypnotized person, you're looking at this thing, well, that doesn't make any sense at all. It's just a glass of water. But here's the point. The beliefs of the mind create the biology. So there's a coherence between the belief and the biology. In this hypnotized person's brain, the belief is that this glass weighs 1,000 pounds. So the first thing in their belief says, I can't lift 1,000 pounds. Well, then how come they can't lift it? And they're absolutely physiologically struggling to lift this glass. And the answer is, to create the reality of the coherence of that belief, the mind in this individual, this hypnotized person, contracts the muscles that are used to lift the glass. At exactly the same time, it contracts the muscles that would be used to put the glass down, so that you're lifting and putting the glass down at exactly the same time, which is like an isometric exercise. And so there's no net movement of the glass, yet both sets of muscles are working full all out to try to handle this glass. So basically it says that whatever beliefs we acquire, they will shape the biology. I think one more perfect example, which I really love to talk about, is in training elephants. And when training elephants, one of the ways of training an elephant is when the elephant is very young, they tie a rope around the elephant's leg, a good large rope, tie it around the elephant's leg, and then tie it to a post. And they leave the elephant. And for hours upon hours, the elephant will keep tugging at the rope, trying to break free from the rope and the stake that's holding it still. And all waking moments, that little baby elephant is pulling on that rope, trying to get free. After a period of time, the baby elephant owns the reality. The reality says, when that rope is on, I am tied to this post and I can't move. Now, this is a baby elephant, but now its mind has been programmed. The program is, when the rope is on, I can't move. Well, what's interesting is we come back now and this elephant's growing up. It's a behemoth. It's a monster. It's a dozen feet or more above the ground. It's massive. And interesting thing is that if they want that elephant to stay still, all they do is tie the rope around the elephant's leg. They don't even have to tie it to the stake, because once the rope around the leg is tied, the elephant's belief system says, oh, I can't move because it had the learning of that experience. And so this is a limiting belief that it limits this monster elephant that could have not only pulled the stake out, it could have knocked the building down in the process. And yet it's not able to move because of a belief. Well, this is important for us because it really reveals how our beliefs can either enhance our lives or sabotage and limit our lives. Can we walk across fire? Well, the question is, what's your belief about that? So while we've been talking about these as beliefs on an individual level, we buy into cultural beliefs that we all collectively buy. And as a result, then those cultural beliefs not just affect the individual, but they affect the entire population. So it becomes a character of a civilization. And so those beliefs, whether they're beliefs that can enhance us or beliefs that can sabotage us, become widespread and pervasive throughout the entire community. And why this is important for us is because some of the beliefs that we have bought into, that we have owned as conventional science, for example, are very limiting beliefs. So, for example, the concept of genetics. Oh, I believe I have cancer running in my family. Just the belief of cancer running in your family can cause the cancer, not that there's even a cancer gene. So it is really incumbent upon us to start to look at the situation in the current world today and say that, yes, we are facing this kind of issues of a life-threatening crises. And the question is, how many of these are real crises, or how many of these are crises as a result of limitations of our belief system? And by understanding this and rewriting those beliefs, this will allow us the opportunity to shed any of those sabotaging or limiting beliefs that have held us back and allow us to advance into spontaneous evolution of a much higher level of life.